You didn't realize it? Anybody? Okay, so you have. Okay, see, I was at the beach, I guess it was two summers ago, and I'm sitting in this pool. Now, there was this really nice pool. We were kind of in the Panama City area, but there's this really stinking awesome pool over on 30A, and if you just happen to know the gate code, you can get in, okay? And so, I mean, no big deal. I went over there, and I'm just chilling, and then there's this guy to my right, and he's older than me, but I'm just like, hey, dude, what's up? I just seem like, what's up, man? I strike up conversation. I'm like a conversational kind of guy, so I'm like making friends, and like, you know, we're just talking, like he's got a friend, girlfriend or whatever with him. And I'm like sitting to her, I'm like getting to know their family. And like, you know, he looks familiar to me. Like in the back of my mind, I'm like, dang, this guy looks familiar. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe he's from back home somewhere. And I just can't remember how I know him, because that sometimes happens to me. I'm like, you know, but anyway, so we talk for a solid hour. We talk about life. I tell him about my life, my wife, my kids, the whole deal. He's telling me about his life and blah, blah, blah. We start talking about, like sports. We start talking about football. I'm talking about the Falcons, who lost in overtime today. Sad day. And I start talking about how I love the Falcons, you know, like who are our rivals, right? Who are our rivals? If you're a Falcons fan, the Saints, like how I hate the Saints and everything. And then, this kid comes up to the guy I'm talking to and asks for his autograph. And I'm like, wait, what is he doing? It's Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. That's who was sitting next to me the whole time. And I'm like, shut up, you're Sean Payton. Oh my gosh, I had no idea this whole time. And now he's like, okay, now you're getting annoying. But I'm like, what? I sat next to the guy and hung out with him. Like, he bought me food. Like, Sean Payton. And I bashed his team, and he was just really nice about it. Never even said anything. It's just like, whatever. And I said, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I'd be like hating on the Saints. It's like, nah, it's okay. I understand. You're cool. We just beat you guys all the time, whatever. So I'm like, screw you, you know? So I'm sitting next to a guy, and I don't even realize who I'm sitting next to. And that's kind of how I think sometimes maybe we experience God. Like, you got maybe some faith, and you got some feeling, but maybe you're like, I'm not sure I got all the facts. Like, I'm not 100% sure who it is I'm, quote, sitting next to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm around him. I go to inside out. But, like, God is who? God is who, you know, who exactly is he? Like, what's he like? Like, what goes in that blank? And so that's what this series is about. The series is going to be a little different. It's not going to be some story, some verse about what God does or what God did or what he has said. It's a series about who God is, like who he actually is. And I wanted to talk about it for a couple weeks because I do think a lot of us have a question mark when it goes in the blank there. We're not 100% sure. It's not like we don't know anything, but we're not really, maybe we're missing some facts. I want to talk about it because I do think this is true. I think, let me turn that. Nope. I think how you see him determines how you approach him. Like when you walk in the room, what's in your mind when you think about God, like who you think God is, that pretty much determines everything about how you approach him, how you experience him, how you think he feels about you, how you in turn feel about him. Like, what happens when you're having a bad weekend and you didn't do anything right, and what happens when you're having a good one, and it just kind of impacts everything about how you approach him. It's like kind of a big deal. And so I want to just take a couple of weeks, and I want to run through some of the core ideas about like what goes in that blank. I don't know why there's an arm in there. I can't even tell you. I have no idea. But I'm not talking about the arm. I want to talk about God is blank. And here's the first one. And you're gonna roll your eyes at first, but I'm going to explain. Here's the first one. I just want to talk about this. The first thing that goes in there is that God is, well, he's God. Okay? You're like, no crap, you idiot. Like, yeah, I got that from the first word. You didn't need to repeat it a second time. No, but here's the deal. There are so many times in the Bible, especially like you go back and read the Old Testament, where God reminds people, or specifically his people, and specifically the Israelites or the church, hey, I want you to remember that I'm actually God. I want you to remember that the Lord is God. By the way, you know God's not God's name. God had a name that he gave them. This is Yahweh. It means I am. And he said, I want you to, don't forget, Yahweh, I am God. Not just your buddy, not just someone you know. I am God. In fact, oftentimes God would do something and he'd say, hey, you want to know why I just did that? You want to know why I just parted the Red Sea? You want to know why I just did that? Because I want everybody to know, and I don't want any of y'all to forget, that I am God. I'm God. I am divine. God says this over and over and over and over and over again so many times. It's one of the most often reminded things from God in like the Bible. Hey, don't forget, I'm God. I'm God. Evidently, we need reminding of that. And I was thinking, why does he do that all the time? Why does he make it a point? It's like, bro, it's kind of your name. You keep telling us that you're God. Like, we, yeah, but why is it that we need reminding? And I think, evidently, and I think this is true, I think we have a tendency to make God small. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. I think we all, and you included, me included, we have a tendency to, in our minds and how we view him, to kind of just make God small. Like, we, on one hand, most of us, like, we make God kind of like us in our minds. Like, God's my homeboy, you know? Or, like, God's my really good neighbor who recycles. That's who God is, you know? Or your mind, you're like, God's like this old wise man. That's who God is. Or he's like this police officer or this ref with, like, red, yellow flags. He just chucks in my life all the time. And you're like, ah, you know? We have a tendency to make God small because we have a tendency to make God like us. Oh, yeah, that's kind of how I get God. A bunch of people go beyond that. They got even smaller, and you've seen this or you've read about this, and they don't just make God like themselves. They make God like other creatures or created things. Like, this is typical idolatry, right? A statue of a bird, and they're like, ah, God. God's a bird. Or God's a dog with a human body, right? Or God is some statue, or it's nature, or it's the sun. That's all throughout history. We have a tendency to make God small. And God's going, no, I'm not like you, and I'm definitely not like a statue. No, I'm God. There's a verse that says this. It says, as high, this is God talking. He goes, hey, my thoughts and my ways and my character, my being, me, I am not like you. My thoughts and my ways are not like your thoughts and your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth. So, farthest reaches of space to this point right here, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than your thoughts and your ways. I'm God. I am divine. That's something you can't forget about me, God is saying. I know you want to make me small. You want to make me think of just, I'm another dude, or I'm some guy with a little bit more power than you, or a little bit more wisdom than you. But no, I'm God. I am God. I am divine. And I wanted to take just like a couple moments tonight, and this is what I want to talk about in small group. I want you to talk about, what does that mean? When you say God's God, what does that mean? Because I have a suspicion that maybe what that means has been forgotten by a lot of us, or maybe never even learned in the first place. What are we actually talking about when we use this word, he's God? What does it mean? And I want to talk about that, give you a couple of things that that means. Because, like I said, I think how you see God, I think it determines everything about how you approach him. And man, whenever a group of people in the past has approached God as a small God, they've always misunderstood him. He's always come across as small and weird and confusing and useless and hard to understand. Anytime a group of people has ever approached God as if he were a small God, they have totally misunderstood him. And not only misunderstood him, they have missed him. Missed him, missed his plan for their life, missed what he's doing in their lives and in the world. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to go through high school with a small view of God and miss him. Or worse, misunderstand who he is. So, starting point, God is God. That's not just a placeholder. That means something. And it's actually pretty cool. And so I want to tell you about it. So, a couple things here of what it means that God is God. Now, the first thing that it means that God is God is that he's big. And let me just kind of paint this picture for you. So in the beginning, God makes the world, right? God speaks and the universe comes into being. God's like, universe, and universe like, blam, universe. God, you know, he's like, light, blam, light. It's like, earth. You know, God speaks and stuff gets created. This is who we're talking about here. In fact, there's a verse in Psalms 115. It says, not that one. You have another one? Okay, forget it. Come back to that. I'm going to read it. I got my Bible. Did I write it down here? Isaiah 66:1. Let me find this sucker. Ah, there it is. Look at that. This is what the Lord says. He's like, I not only made everything. This is how big I am. Heaven is my throne. Earth is like my footstool. Wow. Where's the house you'll build for me? You want to build me a house? You would have built me a house? Bro, Earth is like a footstool. Like, I'm sitting on my lazy boy watching, like, heaven football, and I'm like, hey, Earth, come here. Boom, boom. Just chilling. Like, that's, I mean, God doesn't literally do that. He's giving you a metaphor. He's like, I'm so much bigger than you can even, like, fathom. Earth is like, it's like an ottoman to me. I made it. Oh, they're cute. It's on my shelf. That's how huge I am. God is so much bigger than you and this world and me and this universe. It's not only that. God's, like, bigger than time. This is the crazy thing about God. Do you know that God, like, made time? Like, God, like, made time. Time to God is, like, it's like that. There's time to God. You and I, we just experience. We live inside of this day and then tomorrow, the past, present, and the future. But God is not even in time. He just made it. So this means that God simultaneously can be on today inviting you to follow him, inviting you to make wise decisions, and at the same time, simultaneously, he's outside of time already knowing what you're going to do. 1 Peter says this, that a day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years to God is like a day. Time is like a jacket that God can put on and take off because he made it. It's like, oh yeah, there's the whole human history sitting in front of me. God is not bound by time like you and I. That's how big the guy is. He's huge. And that's where we get these words. So when someone says God's omniscient, have you ever heard that? It means that God knows everything. That's where this comes from. Like, God knows everything. He doesn't just like get knowledge. He like invented it. He's got it. Or omnipresent. God's everywhere. Everywhere is not God, but God is that there's no corner of the planet or your heart that God doesn't see, he doesn't understand, that he doesn't get, or he isn't God. And see, we try to make God small, like God lives at church, like we keep him up in the, you know, fifth floor or something, or in the steeple of like some Catholic church somewhere or Baptist church somewhere. It's like, God's like, no, or it's like my footstool, bro. I'm huge. God's like, I want to enlarge your view of me. I am like unfathomably big. You can't even comprehend how big I am. We're talking like time travel stuff. That's how big I am. You can't wrap your mind around me. And that does bother me. Like, I bet it bothers you maybe a little bit because that's not something I can understand. I want to get it. I want to be able to put God in a box and say, oh, there he is. I get him. And I'm like, no, I don't get that. God's like, yeah, that's the point. That's what it means when you say I'm God. You don't get how big I am. I'm that large and in charge. Number two, he's sovereign. This is a fancy word that means God's in charge and he does whatever he wants. There's actually a verse that says this. Our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Did you know that about God? That's kind of what it means to be God. God does whatever he pleases, and nobody can stop him. Paul said it this way. He's like, hey, who has ever even fathomed like God's decision-making? Or who has even searched out the paths that he goes on? Who's ever been God's counselor or advised him on anything? Nobody. Nobody even can play in the same league as this guy that we're talking about, God. God does whatever he wants, and nobody can stop him. When God shows up to do something, God's just going to do it. There's nobody that can stand in his way. He's never shown up like with a plan and gone, oh, this is what I want to do, and been like, dang it. They don't want me to, so, oh, I can't. Dang it, I wish I were more powerful. No, God does whatever he wants. There's this place in the Bible where Joshua, this warrior, he's leading the whole nation of Israel in battle, and he comes up. He's getting ready to go on to the next battle, and he's walking by himself, and he sees this, like, bad warrior standing off in the distance, just, like, standing there with his sword drawn, like, rawr, just standing out there. And they kind of, like, see each other, and Joshua walks up, and he's really intimidated because this guy's, like, huge, rippling, like, massive armor, big old sword, and Joshua's like, are you for us or against us? And he comes to realize, oh, this is the messenger of God. And the messenger of God just says, no. Wrong question, bro. I'm not here for you to command God. God's here to command you. When God shows up, God does what he wants. So jump on board if you want. I'm going to go kick some butt. And Joshua does. It's amazing. And that's what when people encounter God, this is what they run into all the time. God does whatever he pleases. That's what it means to be God. And that's, man, we want to make God small, be like, yeah, God sometimes does what he wants, and like, you know, he's a small God. That makes me feel better. It kind of bothers me to think that God does whatever the heck he wants, but God's like, I just want to push out your view of me. I'm sovereign, I'm in charge. That's kind of what it means to be God. Number three is God's holy. So he's holy. That means like perfect. That means that he doesn't have any wrong in him. It's kind of like, you know, Purell. It's like, that's really clean, right? That's like, God's like, I'm that. when it comes to good and evil. I'm like, I'm holy. God doesn't just meet the standard of right and wrong. He makes the standard of right and wrong. Like, he is the standard. Something is right simply because it agrees with him. Something is wrong, not just intrinsically, but because it's against what God says. Like, God himself is the standard for right and wrong. You know, in the Revelation, it says there's this, like, group of angels, and all they do, literally, is like, I would hate this. But all they do is sit around God, and they sing this song. It says, day and night, these angels around in heaven, this is the Revelation where they're talking about like heaven and weird stuff, but they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. God's like, holy, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. That's what it means to be God. He's not just sort of got his act together. He's not just like better than most guys. He's holy, right? And this is where God starts to get a little scary, I think, because we're not holy. And when you're not holy, you don't just walk into the presence of a holy God. There's this story in the Bible, Isaiah, one of the prophets. He's in church, right? And it says God just, blam, shows up. Like, I don't know what that looked like, but it said smoke filled the temple. It said it started to shake. Like, God just decided to be like, and like, morph into the temple. I don't know. Again, I don't know how it works. He's God, right? But God shows up, and Isaiah realizes what's going on. And you know what Isaiah does? He goes, ah! And he gets down on the ground like this. Yeah, like, you got me. And he gets down on the ground, and he's like, starts shaking. And he goes, woe is me. God's just shown up. Holy God has just entered the building. And I don't know if God knew that I was here, but I'm in the room. I'm the only one in the room. God, bam, shows up. And he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Because a holy God, I can't be in the presence of a holy God because I'm not holy. It's like when light comes on darkness, what happens to the darkness? It's gone, right? Okay. When holiness comes in the presence of unholiness, what happens to the unholiness? Gone. And he's like, oh, crud, I'm in the room, I'm sorry. And God, and this angel comes to him, and it's weird. He brings this coal from the altar, and he like touches his lips, and he's like, okay, you'll be okay. That's like my God's cleansing of him. And that's what Isaiah realizes. That's what back in the day when you read the Bible, they had this high priest. And they had a curtain in front of the presence of God, and nobody could go in except one time a year when they went in. Does anybody know what you had to do? You had to kill an animal and bring in blood because God's holy and we're sinners, and it was like atonement for our sin because God's holy. You don't just walk in. They had this elaborate system. It was crazy. And that's what it means to be God, that he is holy. And God's going, yeah, I know you want to make like a small God, and I do this. I want a God who's got like, it makes me feel better. If God's got like problems like me, you know, or God's just kind of like, he's okay, he's really good, he's just good, just like me, just trying to be a good guy, you know. And God's like, no, I want to enlarge your vision of me. I'm holy, like scary kind of holy. And you don't just get to be in my presence unless I make a way for you. That's the third one. Number four, last one. He's good. He's good. There's a quote. Y'all remember Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia? Yeah. Okay, so God is which character? Yeah, the lion. And there's a little girl. Remember her name? Yeah, okay, there's this cool interaction where Lucy finds out that there's this big lion. And she's been, like, excited to see Aslan, or however you say his name. And this beaver guy tells her, hey, by the way, he's his big lion. And she's like, oh. And she says, here's the quote. Aslan's a lion, the great lion. And says Susan, oh, sorry, it's Susan. Whatever, the other girl. And she goes, oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he safe? Quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. You know, they talk. And this is the response. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. He's a freaking lion. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Last thing is true about God. Yes, God is huge. I mean, you can't understand how big he is. To God, I am tiny. Tiny. Like, my life is like a pfft to God. It's a pfft. Like a sneeze, and you see it for a second, and it's gone. My life's like a sneeze to him. He's big. And he's in charge. God does whatever he wants. He doesn't need me to do anything. And he's holy. I can't just walk into his presence. He is infinitely better than I am. And that's scary. That's big. I guess it doesn't even sound safe, but the coolest thing is that God is good. God is good. The Lord is gracious and patient. slow to anger, abounding in love towards you. In fact, you know that verse I quoted in the beginning? I said, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Y'all remember that? As high as the heavens are above the earth, he says, so am I higher than you. He says it again, another place in the Bible, and he says, in the same way, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love of God towards you. So yeah, he's God. You can't control him for 1 second. You can't understand him fully ever in your lifetime, and you don't get to tell him what to do, but he loves you. In the same magnitude that he's God, higher than you, he says, in that same way, that's how much I happen to love you specifically. He's good. He's really good. And that's what you see. The biggest thing you see about God being God in the Bible when people write about him, they lose their minds. Like they say, whom have I in heaven but you? The earth has nothing I desire besides you, God. My heart and my flesh are going to fail, but you, God, you are my strength and you are my portion. Like my meal on a portion and a dinner, you're my portion forever. David says, oh my gosh, God's love, his love for me is better than my life. His love is better than life. Paul said, I've got everything. I used to have everything, but I would consider it all a loss. I'd throw it away and make it garbage compared to how great it is to know Christ Jesus. He's that good. He's that good. David said again, he said, one day, better would be one day in the presence of God, the God who is God, like in his presence. It would be better to have one day in his presence than 1,000 years anywhere else on the planet with anything else. He is that good. Moses encountered God one time, and he saw God's glory. Like he actually encountered God on the mountain when he got those tablets. You remember that? And I don't know if you know this. It says Moses actually saw God, experienced God, and it came off the mountain, and his face was still glowing. That's how mind-blowingly awesome God was. God is face-melting good. I can't feel my face when I'm with you is accurate about God. If you were to actually see him, you would actually lay eyes on him, you'd be like, my face is melting. This is awesome. It's that good. That's what the people who've run into him have said about him. Yeah, he's big. Yeah, he's in charge. He does whatever he wants. And yeah, he's holy, and that's a little frightening. But oh my gosh, he's good. He's incredible. That's what it means that God is God. He's God. And so when you get to God as God, he gets a lot bigger in your eyes. He gets bigger. He's not some boring, cute, irrelevant, dude. It's wow. And I just want to make sure you know that. How you see God determines everything about how you approach him. And if you approach him as a small little God, he's going to be boring to you, and you're going to quit coming inside out, and you're going to give up on this whole thing. And if he's small to you, you're going to miss out on who he is, and you're going to misunderstand everything that he's trying to do in your life, and you're going to miss out on his plan for your life if he's small to you and you try to approach him that way. But he's not. He's God. And evidently, God thinks it's a high priority that you don't forget that. So, here's what I want you to talk about in small groups specifically. If God is indeed God, or Jesus is indeed God, I think it will change maybe how we view him in 3 ways. So my hope for you, this is my hope for you. I try to write down what I want for them. This is one of those weird subjects that's kind of really abstract. And I feel we talked about sex last week and everybody's super interested. And I'm great. And I'm going to talk about who God is. You're going to be but I was trying to think what do I want for them? And then there's 3 things I want for you as a result of this idea, that you would have more of these 3 things. One, that you'd have more awe. I wrote down awe. Everybody say, aw. Yeah, no, it's not that. It's aw. That maybe the next time we sing one of these songs, you remember that he's God and what that means. That I hope that tonight, in just reading these couple of verses and maybe what you talk about, your view of God went like this. It was this big and it went and God looked bigger or cooler than he did before to you. Because he's bad, man. He's great. He's awesome and he's huge and he does what he wants and he's good. And I just hope you have more awe. If you've never experienced any awe with God, it's probably because he's really small in your eyes. He's not impressive in your eyes. You're not seeing him right. But when you see him, you walk in and one of these songs starts playing or whatever. You're doing your quiet time and you're God is awesome. He's really legit awesome. I hope you have more of that. That's kind of one of my, I'm praying that for you. Number two, fear. You're whoa, fear, you're not supposed to fear God. I'm not talking about Halloween fear. I'm talking about reverence kind of fear. When God is small to you, you live as if your choices make no difference, that your sin doesn't matter. But when you see God for who he is, you're like, oh my gosh, he's holy. And I want to be holy like he's holy. I don't want to live my life however I want. I guess I think it matters. I think he's holy God. And I think that's a pretty quasi-scary thing. And unless he makes a way for me, which we're going to talk about that next week, I don't get to just walk in and be in a relationship with him. He's holy. That's a big deal to him. I think, I'd love for some of you to maybe have a healthy fear of God. Not that he hates you. No, I've already told you, he loves you. As much as he is God above you, the same way he says, that's how much I love you. But he's holy. And that's a big deal. Last one. Trust. Is there somewhere in your life right now that you're like, I don't know if I can trust God? Well, he's big. And he does whatever he wants. And he happens to love the heck out of you. Happens to. I don't know why he chose to do that, but he did. Because he does what he wants. And you can trust him. I would hope you'd walk out of here and say, if God is God, well then, dang, maybe I can actually trust him. I can't control him. I'm not going to be able to go to church 5 times and make him do what I want. That's not what it means to be God. He's God. But I trust him. I can't control a thing he does. But he's good. And I would just, man, I would hope some of you guys are going through, some of you are going through a divorce right now in your family. Some of you are struggling with your self-esteem. Some of you are just not having a good month. And you're like, I would love for you to have a God that's big enough for you to go, oh, I can totally trust him. So that's what I want you to talk about. Do you feel these things when it comes to God? And if not, maybe it's because you didn't know who he was. You've been sitting next to him, coming around him the whole time, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's Sean Payton. You know, you're like, I didn't know who you are. He's God. And when you know that, it changes some stuff. So that's what I'd love to talk about right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that I thank you that you are God. That's pretty cool. I have some friends that are really cool, but I don't need you to be like me. I need you to be like God. And that's pretty awesome that you're huge and big. And it's pretty awesome that you're sovereign and in charge, because I'm surely not. And it's cool that you're holy. That kind of scares me a little bit, but we're going to talk about that next week. But it's incredible how good you are. Thanks for loving me. Like you could just go on and forget about me, but you love me. That's pretty awesome. So I pray for these guys. I pray for me. Maybe we'd up the awe factor a little bit. We'd remember the kind of God we're talking about here. And we might get a little healthy dose of fear in how we live and how we listen to you. And most of all, we would trust you with even the little stuff. So, yeah, I pray for that. And we have a good conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.